Niagara Falls, Frankie Angel.
Turn that down before we lose one.
God,
listener.
Sorry. I missed my cue to turn it down because I was so offended.
That is the Jingle Cats.
I was actually wincing.
You are hearing Silent Night.
Good God.
Emma tortures me with that whole soundtrack every year around Christmas.
That's something you would play at Guantanamo Bay to make somebody talk.
Shit.
I would rather have my toenails pulled out than listen to that. I should say I love Christmas music. I'm Christmas music's biggest defender. This shit is just garbage.
I think that's going to be a recurring theme every December.
Every
as long
year,
as we do this podcast.
You're going to torture me with new Christmas, awful Christmas songs?
So you are tuned into the Old School Movie Podcast. I'm Mike Auger.
I'm Matt Castro.
Last week we talked about Godzilla Minus One and the original Godzilla. Took a little detour. Now we're back on Christmas movies. And we are talking about a movie me and Matt have seen many times.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen this in many years. Boy, has my opinion changed.
And I can't wait to hear.
We are talking about Scrooged. Clearly a Danny Elfman score.
That is the most Danny Elfman score.
Every fucking score.
I didn't really pay attention to it when I was watching the movie, but as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, that guy was everywhere.
Yes. Especially late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And every Tim Burton film till the end of time.
Right. He was even in some places that he was not explicitly allowed to be, according to some recent legal settlements.
Oh, my God.
Allegedly.
So this was Bill Murray's return to acting.
4 years away.
4 years away.
After Ghostbusters. Apparently, he did not handle the Ghostbusters success well. He was like weirded out by all the success. And then he also had another movie at the time that bombed. That was like his passion project.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was called, but it was same came out right around Ghostbusters. So he had a massive hit that he like didn't really give a shit about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had his like personal movie that didn't do well at all. And so he disappeared. He went to study history at the Sorbonne, I believe, for 4 years.
Right.
And he only appeared in Little Shop of Horrors in like a cameo role.
And give us the numbers, Matt.
Yeah, he said, one last thing on Bill Murray, I'm sure we'll talk more about him, but he did say when he finally came back, he felt that he was a little bit rusty in this movie. And I think you and I can both agree, yes. Even though I like this movie significantly more than you, apparently. Okay, numbers. Scrooge came out in 1988, again, 4 years after Ghostbusters, after Bill Murray's hiatus. Directed by Richard Donner, who has a really, really interesting career. He did a ton of TV work. He made the jump to film with The Omen, which I'd like to watch at some point.
Yeah.
And then most famously, everybody knows, he did Superman 1 and 2. 2 was the cut where he directed it, was pushed out, and then it was like not... it was years until the Donner cut finally came out. But that's now regarded as like the definitive Superman 2 cut. He also directed The Goonies and all of the Lethal Weapon films. Lethal Weapon 4 was one of his last credits, so really very interesting career. Budget on this movie was $32 million, and it made $100 million. So pretty successful, not a huge hit. $6 million of that was Bill Murray's salary.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you read this bit, but I kind of thought this was interesting, where the producer of the film, I believe it was, defended paying him that much money because he said, actually, every year Bill Murray stayed away from acting, his draw increased because people wanted to see him return so bad.
Especially coming off of Ghostbusters, which is such a huge hit.
Right.
Rotten Tomato and critic audience and critic score is 71. Metacritic is 38. And 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb. I want to let everybody know, too, that Bill Murray turned down roles in Rain Man. hold on.
I cannot imagine him in Rain Man. So clearly, I'm on the Rotten Tomato side, and you're on the Metacritic side.
Well,
because I like about 71% of this movie.
71%. I just had it right here a minute ago. God damn it! See, this is why I need the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I know for sure he had turned down roles in Rain Man, but I can't. Oh, Rain Man, Big, and Cocktail to make this film.
Well, he dodged a bullet with Cocktail.
Yes.
See, that's so funny because all three of those movies are movies that I can't imagine the lead not being in.
Yes.
Two of those went to Tom Cruise, now I think about it.
No, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks was in Big. Tom Cruise got Cocktail and Tom Cruise got Rain Man.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. We're getting our Toms mixed up here.
It was all the Toms. It was the 80s. Yeah. A lot of Toms.
Tom's in Beverly Hills.
What a fucked up movie Big is, by the way. We should do Big at some point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate Pizzagate film, isn't it?
For sure. The kid's like, he's still 6 years old, but he's in a man's body. And this woman's like, oh, you're only a six-year-old boy? Well, let me show you what it's like to be in a man's body. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she fucks him.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about Big.
We'll do Big later.
So this movie here, I just watched for the first time.
How long has it been, do you think?
Easily 25 years, maybe 30.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Of course you have a different opinion. That's a long time to go without watching a movie.
Yes, but I didn't expect to hate this. And that's what happened here.
And you did.
I fucking hated watching this.
Wow. Okay, and I won't say I love this movie because I don't love this movie. I like this movie quite a bit. And I look forward to watching it every year. I didn't watch this movie as a kid. I came to this as an adult. I only saw it for the first time maybe 7 or 8 years ago. So maybe I don't have any other perspective, just like, oh, I like this movie.
Bill Murray is the worst he has ever been in any movie in this film.
I don't agree with that. You've never seen him in some of the later Wes Anderson films where he's fully phoning it in.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, even when Bill Murray's being Bill Murray, you can tell he's just like disinterested a lot of the times. And also he was worse in Ghostbusters Afterlife for sure. Where he's basically playing a corpse. And I know that's not fair because he obviously was there for legal reasons.
You want to talk about phoning it in. The female Ghostbusters, that's the one where he's like, I don't want to be here at all. Oh, that's
right. He plays like the Walter Peck character.
I'm only going to sit in this chair and that's it.
I'll do your stupid movie if I can sit in a chair and do nothing else. I've seen that movie only once. I forgot it was in there. You realize we've mentioned Ghostbusters yet again. We're going to mention the Ghostbusters
on every episode. Yeah, it won't be the last time.
No.
Richard Donner was like pushing to get this released in Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
At the end of the day, on December 24th, he fired the entire cast and crew. 2 days later, on December 26th, he rehired everyone. The break allowed the cast and crew members to spend Christmas with their families.
Wait, he fired like during production?
I guess so.
Can't you just give him the day off?
Oh, he asked if production can have Christmas off.
And they said no.
That's interesting.
I just had a joke, but I kept it in. I'm not going to say it.
It's that bad?
Yes, I'll tell you off air.
Okay. Let's talk about Bill Murray and Richard Donner's relationship.
It's great, right?
They fucking hated each other.
Yeah, I know. They didn't like each other at all.
Yeah.
Basically, I think from what I read, Bill Murray said Richard Donner didn't understand comedy. And Richard Donner at least sounded nicer about it, but he was basically like, yeah, you don't really direct Bill Murray. You just sort of rein him in when he goes too crazy. It sounds like directing Jim Carrey.
Well, let's see here. Bill Murray's response when asked if he had any conflict with Richard Donner, he said only a few every single minute of the day. That could have been a really, really great movie. The script was so good. There's maybe one take in the final cut movie that is mine. We made it so fast, it was like doing a movie live. He kept telling me to do things louder, louder, louder. I think he was deaf.
What a dick. Oh, shit. Bill Murray, I love Bill Murray, obviously, but he's such an asshole. Also, I know what the one take in the movie is that is Bill Murray's, and it's my least favorite part of the movie.
What take?
It's the last scene when he goes on his unhinged rant
Yeah.
into the camera that goes on for like 25 minutes. and it looks like he's having a mental breakdown.
It's awful.
It's horrible. That is my least favorite part of the movie. I hate the ending of this
movie. The low point. We didn't do that on the last podcast, by the way.
There's no low point for Godzilla. It's all high points.
There you go.
The low point was wife looked a little too good for getting killed by Godzilla breath. Sure. There's the low point. It doesn't matter. All high points in that one.
This one, though, I agree with you. That's
the low point.
Well, a lot of this is the low point.
Okay. I'll say for me, that's the low point. Because Bill Murray said, or I read it like an on-set thing where they had this whole bit scripted for the ending. They were having a really hard time writing the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they went to shoot it, Bill Murray just went completely off script. And they thought he was having a mental breakdown on set because that's how it comes across in the movie. It looks like he's having a mental breakdown. The point of the scene, we haven't said this yet, but if you know anything about this, it's a retelling of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
Right.
So the point of the scene is he's finally realized I'm a bad person. I have to be better. But it doesn't come across that way. It comes across as him having a mental break. And he just sounds so crazy. It's almost like him acting. You know when Saturday Night Live ends? Like if they end a sketch or they don't know how to end a sketch and they just like things get just weird. That's how it felt like. He's like he didn't know how to end it. So he just went nuts. And I think it's the absolute worst part of the movie.
He didn't follow the script at all. He ad-libbed almost everything in this movie.
No, it was that's why they were shocked because it was 100% off script.
Yeah.
And they thought he was actually having it like a breakdown.
When he first got the script too, he ripped the whole thing up and demanded it be rewritten.
Of course he did.
Sounds like he was a huge fucking diva on set and... Yeah. You know, like we said, this is his return to acting, and I think he's fucking awful in this. He's chewing the scenery in every scene he's in.
And I don't think he's awful. I do think he's chewing the scenery. He's being 100% Bill Murray in this. But I think I kind of like it. I think it works because he's playing a horrible character. He's playing the Scrooge character.
Yeah, he's a TV executive in this.
Yeah, let's set the stage. So... I specifically made a note of how this movie opens because it makes me laugh really hard. It is the ultimate 80s cynical corporate Wall Street. Nothing is important. Nothing is sacred. All we care about is money sort of story. It opens on a set of fake commercials for TV programs that this station is promoting. I had to write them down because they make me laugh. One is for a Robert Goulet special. Do you know who Robert Goulet is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah. So, great. There's a Santa action movie with Lee Majors, which kind of reminds me of Violent Night, which I just watched a couple weeks ago. It's so good. Yeah. Well, you're the $6 million man, Lee Majors. It's great. And then my personal favorite was a rip on Leave It to Beaver. Father Loves Beaver. So good. That cracks me up. And then immediate hard cut to they're going to do a live presentation of the classic A Christmas Carol, the Scrooge story on Christmas Eve, starring Buddy Hackett as Scrooge and Mary Lou Retton as Tiny Tim, because it's not good enough that Tiny Tim throws down his cane, because this is the 80s and cocaine and everything over the top. Tiny Tim has to do like a quadruple backflip when he throws the cane down. So Mary Lou Retton's going to play Tiny Tim. And there's a bunch of other weird, just over the top, like crazy, cynical, mean stuff that happens. But that's the basic setup. So they're promoting this. Cut to Bill Murray. He's in his suite. He's talking to his board that he doesn't really listen to. They're showing him the advertisements. He shows his own advertisement, which is this just fucking insane. If you miss this show,
people are like barfing when they leave the screening.
Right. It's like a nuclear bomb goes off if you don't watch Scrooge on Christmas Eve. One of my favorite little gags is he opens up his desk drawer at one point at the head of the table and he has a mirror. It's a mirror, and he just looks at himself and like gives a little kissy face and smiles, hypes himself up. I don't know. I just love all this stuff. It's very on the nose. It's not subtle. He's playing the most despicable man you've ever met. You hate him immediately. He fires a man on Christmas Eve for, you know,
Bobcat from Police Academy.
Bobcat Goldthwait from Police Academy for daring to disagree with him on anything, who spends the rest of the movie kind of going insane.
Yeah.
It's a great setup. You hate him immediately. After this scene, he's going to accept a Humanitarian of the Year award where on his way to the cab, he like kicks an old lady out of the way. Then when he gives a speech about how he'll treasure this forever, and then cut to him back in the cab, just like throwing the award in the garbage.
Wait, let me just stop you right there. If you've listened to this podcast enough now, you know how much I hate things that are right on the fucking nose.
Yeah, and this is, okay, yes, and this is really on the
this
nose.
This is beating you over the head with it, like.
Yeah, but it's funny.
He's the most despicable human being on the face of the earth.
Yes, and I'm okay with that because he's playing what is supposed to be the most despicable person.
I am more entertained listening to you talk about this than I am watching that fucking movie.
Because I like it, so you're laughing at how much I like it.
Yes, I am, and it's great.
It works for me.
Yeah.
I should probably also say that I am a big fan of A Christmas Carol, just all of them. Mm-hmm. I've read the book when I was in high school. I've seen a couple of stage productions of it. I've seen more of the movies than I can remember. It's been a long time, in fairness. I stopped watching it, but I was really into it.
Matt is a Christmas fanboy, and I'm clearly not. So maybe that's where we're having this disconnect here, but it's fine.
Yeah, I'm wearing nothing but a Santa hat right now. Actually, I almost brought my Santa hat, but I didn't have it on me. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. This is all working for me so far. It's really, I know you don't like, you like subtlety, and normally so do I. But in a stupid movie like this, I don't know, it's fine.
Well, the bit that I like the most in this whole thing, the high point for me, and it's the one that sticks out the most from my childhood. My brother and I still quote this all the time. It's what I played in the beginning of the podcast. The Ghost of Christmas Past shows up, and he's played by...
Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring him up. So, yeah, before we get there, I guess we could fast forward through a lot of this. Basically... a bunch of scenes of Bill Murray being the worst person you've ever met in your whole entire life. Yeah,
a bunch of them.
Yeah, being awful to a secretary, that sort of thing, making people work on Christmas.
She's going through a list of family members and friends. Oh, yeah,
right. Towel.
And he's got millions of dollars.
He's rich.
What are you going to give? Yeah, what are you going to give him for Christmas? Towel.
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 Give him a towel. He also, I love that he's just a functional alcoholic in this. He drinks so much. Every time he walks into a room, he pours himself like a vodka just on ice.
Yep.
He's great. It's the, yep. God, I would have done so well in the 80s. The first ghost we meet, as in A Christmas Carol, I'm pretty sure, is the ghost of his old boss, warning him, saying, you're going to be met by three ghosts tomorrow night. I died like this. I died an old miser. Everybody hated me.
The costume, or the makeup effects in this is pretty great. I will give them that.
I agree. I think the makeup in this is really good, especially when we get to the Ghost of Christmas Future, which is, that's my least favorite part of the movie, but I like the costume design and how like kind of fucked up it all is.
It's almost creature design at that point.
Yeah, it really is creature design because he has creatures growing out of him. It's that got like a little scary too. It had a little Ghostbusters flair to it where it's funny, but then you get a little scary.
Sure.
The Ghost of Christmas Past was played by... oh, where was he?
Well, while Matt's looking him up.
Thank you.
He's driving a cab.
Oh, sorry. David Johansen. He's at the bottom of the... he was the bottom of the castle. Sorry. Every time I see his face, up until now, I'd always thought, hey, I know that guy. Who is that guy? He looks so familiar. He's not an actor, even though he's got a number of credits. He's the lead singer in the band The New York Dolls. That's how I knew him.
Good God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, neither did I until I made that connection. I was like, oh, that's why I recognize that guy's face. But he's great in this, I think.
He's taking Bill Murray through events in the past. And Bill Murray's like, you think you're going to take me into my parents' house and make me cry? I don't give a shit about that. And then he goes, I don't forget who he says, but he's like, he said the same thing. And then when he saw his mother, Niagara Falls, Frank.
It's your favorite line, clearly.
It is my favorite line in this entire movie.
He picks him up after Bill Murray has a complete meltdown at a fancy restaurant, too.
Which is terrible.
Oh, I'm fine.
It's so bad, dude.
I'm fine with it. I like it.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
Look, it's very on the nose. Bill Murray is being... He's a total suck-up to the big boss, so he's having lunch with him. The big boss has brought in...
the dude from Gremlins 2,
yes.
Which we will get to, Matt.
No, I know. Because
he plays a significant role in Gremlins 2.
Yes. John Glover, who's been in a million things.
He's been in every early 90s, probably late 80s movie you've ever seen. Him and Judge Reinhold.
Was he the...
Judge Reinhold's in next week's podcast.
Oh God, you're right. But Judge Reinhold pops up so much. Was he in? Was he the scientist in Batman and Robin? That's what that face always pops out as. No,
maybe.
Oh, I'll look it up. Anyway, he's playing the like preppy California oats and granola guy that Bill Murray's worried is going to be his replacement at the network. And then he starts seeing, or he thinks he starts seeing ghosts.
Oats and granola?
Yeah.
I never heard that.
You never heard that?
What does that mean?
It's like code for hippie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're like a granola eater, tree hugger, a hippie.
Well.
How do I know all this shit? I'm like, well, I guess I am the liberal of the podcast, so I know all of our slang.
Well, no, it's funny because I think when they order the food, doesn't he order like...
Yes, he orders the California Health Plate.
Yeah, that's
right. Why I said that. Yeah, okay, yeah. He's like, California Health Plate, that's vegan or whatever. Vegan wasn't a thing in the 80s. It's like egg whites only, right? Or whatever.
The complete opposite of Bill Murray, who's drinking, like you said, alcohol by the fucking gallon.
Yeah, well, and he's a suck up to the boss. So like he orders the California Health Plate. The boss orders the rack of lamb, which is funny. And then Bill Murray, well, of course, I'll have the rack of lamb as well.
Because
he's a complete dictator to everybody else. But for the boss, he's just a huge suck up.
He's hallucinating, though, seeing like the waiter on fire and an eyeball in his drink. So then he sees his mother.
He was in Batman and Robin.
Okay, so you're right.
Yeah, that
fucking
was
the, A.
Yeah.
So his dad comes in. I love this part, too.
Me too.
He's like, go ahead and open your present. And by the way, that's played by Bill Murray's brother. All of Bill Murray's brothers are in this film.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And you see that guy in a lot of Bill Murray films. He's also the psychiatric ward, head of the psychiatric ward in Ghostbusters 2. A lot of Bill Murray's brothers are in that movie, too.
Well, at least everybody's getting paid.
Absolutely. So,
that's all that matters.
His dad goes, open your present. And then he's like, is it a train? He's like, no, it's 5 pounds of veal.
That's... Cut to Bill Murray, adult Bill Murray in the background getting a little teary, and the ghost says to him, see, Frank, you're getting a little, you know, you get choking up a little. And he's like,
Niagara Falls, he's like, Frank.
He's like, that was so ungrateful of me. That would be $20 a pound in modern New York prices or whatever.
And I could see little Matt saying that same thing.
Absolutely. 5 pounds of veal? Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah.
That's my ideal Christmas present. Are you kidding? We're having veal cutlets for Christmas dinner, okay?
That's it. He sees his mother, though. He tears up. Then it takes him back to a holiday party.
Yeah, so this is, okay, so high point. This whole stretch is my favorite part of the movie.
Me too.
I think this is genuinely quite good and touching.
Plus, Bill Murray has a mullet.
Yes, and he has a mullet. We cut to 1969 Bill Murray, so about 20 years before when this movie takes place. And this starts to explore his relationship with, according to Hollywood, the biggest sex pot of 1988, Karen Allen.
We talked about this.
We were kind of making fun of it, kind of not. I love Karen Allen. I think she's great.
She's a fine gal.
She's a fine lady. I think she's very pretty, but this movie does treat her like she's Marilyn Monroe.
Yes. A lot of movies do that.
Mike, I'm being generous. Just stop rolling your eyes at me.
Well, you know, like we talked about, would she be like Bond girl worthy?
No.
The answer is no.
No. No.
Fine actress, though, and...
Yeah, she's great. And
she does give off this energy of kind of takes no shit, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I think she's so perfect. We talked about this.
For Indiana Jones.
She was so perfect in Raiders of the Lost Ark because she kind of comes off as rugged, take no shit, take care of yourself. You totally buy her as Marion. But in this movie, they're treating her like she's Marilyn Monroe walking across the subway street. Like it's a little silly.
And it starts to go through his past relationship with her.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, again, the best part of the movie.
Right.
And it's then, sweet.
You know, he's kind of a better person, but then his career starts to take off. And this is a part where I asked my wife how she would feel about this. So she goes, he gets invited to a party with the head of the studio.
He's working on some like children's show.
Under the costume.
He's in like a dog costume. You can tell he's probably like an assistant showrunner type thing.
Yeah.
Just trying to work his way up, doing whatever it takes.
Right.
It's Christmas Eve. I know exactly where you're going with this. He gets invited to the big boss says, hey Frank, why don't you and your beautiful girlfriend and me and this prostitute that I'm paying go out for Christmas? Well, that's what it is. He's with this bombshell, and she's like, what about your wife? She's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, toots. Why don't we all go out for Christmas Eve dinner together? And he's like, yeah, this is a huge opportunity. Let's go to Christmas Eve dinner. And she's like, well, no, we have to go to the Joneses because we made plans with them 3 months ago. We're going to play Pachisi. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, the boss just invited us out. Yes, if that's where you're going with this, I completely agree.
I'm sorry, but she's being a dumb bitch right there.
Yes, I agree with you.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Uh-huh.
I asked my wife about this, and she kind of gave me a non-answer here.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, you have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Okay, Jordan and Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Good friends of Matt's. I like them, too. Good friends. If you had something going on Christmas Eve with them, but I don't know who I'm throwing out here. I don't know. Fuck.
Donald Trump calls me and he says, Matt.
I was going to say Elon Musk, but he's on the no-no list too.
Yeah.
Tony Stark shows up and says, get in my limo. We got to talk business.
Get in my limo. You, me, and this hooker are going to have a four-way.
I'm sure they would understand.
Of course.
Given the circumstances, right?
Yes. That's literally like a meme going around this year about Hallmark movies. It's like the villain of a Hallmark movie is always the boyfriend who's like, no, honey, I can't come to your party tonight. I'm going to make $20 million and set us up for life. And he's the bad guy.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, right. So like everybody's kind of skewering this thing now where, no, you're absolutely right. In real life, if it's Christmas Eve and you have the opportunity of a lifetime in front of you, you go, yes, I have to do that for my own good.
And this is a catalyst that turns Bill Murray from face to heel.
Yeah, because she leaves him. Pretty, yeah. I mean, I think that's the implication, right? That they just like, that's their where they part ways, where he goes the corporate way. Mm-hmm. But look, it's a stupid comedy, whatever.
But
you're absolutely right. That is a thing you jump on, and she is being clearly ridiculous and being like, no, we gotta go here.
Yeah, exactly. So he gets transported back. And he's going ape shit on the set. And what are these like dancing girls in the background too?
Oh, we're back in the
present time.
On the Christmas Carol set.
Yeah,
I think the dancing girls are just there too, because the whole like cynical take on Christmas Carol is the story isn't good enough to keep people's attention. We need spectacle.
Yeah,
which, geez, nothing has changed. That's like every major release now from Hollywood is like, no, it's not good enough to give people a good story. We have to have a million CGI fights to keep people's attention.
Yeah.
Or you don't. So I think the dancing girls are just there to like, it's just like a dumb addition to the story. You get a lot of little things like that through the movie that I kind of love, like ridiculous requests that are made from the boss, or, the idea that they need to shove all this random stuff into their productions. One of my favorites is at some point the boss gets Frank and he says, do you know how many cats there are in this country? And he's like, I don't. 46 million. We need to start doing programming for cats. Oh, okay, boss, I'll get right on that. Like, it's just silly stuff like that.
Did you notice the many references to Free Africa in the background?
No, I didn't.
I put this in here just for you.
Thank you.
Throughout the movie, including a poster on the wall in Grace's house, as well as a sticker in the production room, this was a subliminal political humanitarian reference to the... I can't pronounce it.
Apartheid.
Apartheid, sorry, fuck. Controversy which was taking place in South Africa at the mm-hmm. time, and the movie was being shot.
Mm.
There you go.
Okay, I love that. I love the message. Apartheid was bad. I think that's a pretty non-controversial opinion.
Indeed. Also, it wasn't until 2011 that Danny Elfman's score was released. The album, which was limited to just 3,000 copies, contained a total of 34 tracks, not all of which were included in the film. The final track is a bonus track that was created for Trading Places.
Damn, that surprises me.
It does indeed.
I will say sometimes we talk about, you know, sort of forgotten movies. I don't think this movie's forgotten, but it's also not like hyper popular. It's kind of, it feels a little
middling.
Niche. It's middling. It feels like it was kind of left in the 80s, early 90s, which is fine. I liked this enough to buy it on 4K this year. I'm collecting 4K discs, and I got it on sale. $9.99, great price. I liked it enough to bite on that. But I think most people are probably not in my camp.
If there was 100 Christmas movies made,
uh-huh.
and in terms of like rememberable or pop or memorable or popularity,
mm-hmm.
I would say this is probably like 35 around there. Like, it's not. I think people do remember this, especially our age group. But it, you like, you're right. It's not something you throw on every Christmas.
I'd even go, as the one who likes this one, I'd even go lower. I'd say this is like, yeah, if there's, okay, if there's 100 Christmas movies, I'd give this a solid 50, like exactly in the middle, where it's like some people really like it, some people don't. I read a bunch of reviews, contemporaneous reviews of this and newer reviews, and multiple times I saw people say things to the effect of, oh, I like this movie, or, oh, I don't like this movie, but I can totally understand why people would feel differently. Like, I could totally understand why people don't like this, or I can understand why people do like this. Mm-hmm. It's just very, like, in the middle. It's all over the place. And I will say, we'll talk a little more about Bill Murray, I'm sure, but he said, and I completely agree with him, that this movie could have been better.
Sure.
And I agree with that. There's a tighter version of this movie out there.
Well, he said a lot of things got left on the cutting room floor. So they filmed a lot of different things. They had a lot of different concepts.
Yeah.
And it just never made it in.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I do agree with him. I think it could have been better. Should we move on to the Ghost of Christmas Present, your least favorite part of the movie?
My least favorite part. The fucking, well, the end and this are the low points for me.
Okay. And she's annoying.
Carol Kane.
Yes.
Very annoying. When she grabbed Bill Murray's lip, she tore it so badly that filming was halted for a few days.
Look.
She abuses him the entire time.
Yeah, that's like the joke? Question mark?
Mm-hmm.
Is that supposed to be funny? It's really not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she abusing him? That doesn't really play into being a ghost.
I don't know. You tell me, Matt. You're the expert here.
She's a strong female character. Who doesn't take no shit.
Shit.
And she beats him up to try to beat him over the head with the joy of Christmas that he's missing. I don't know. This is actually, to me, this is where I checked out of the movie. I think I started drinking an eggnog. And I was like, whatever, I'm out. First half of this movie is better for me than the second. As soon as we get to Ghost of Christmas Present, I'm pretty much checked out.
So she's taking him to, like, the secretary's house.
Uh-huh. His brother's house.
Brother's house.
Which, his brother's house is actually kind of funny to me because, look, I'm just going to be really honest. His brother's Christmas Eve looks pretty lame. And it's like, if I was a high-powered TV executive, I would be having a very different Christmas Eve as well.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't just be playing, like, Scattergories with my brother. No, you know, family's wonderful. I'm very devoted to family. But I don't know. I'd be at a party in a mansion or something.
One would think. Yeah, I can't tell you how much I hate this.
Okay, we're into your hatred, so let's go.
She's terrible. She's very, very annoying. She is in most of the things I've seen her in. Bill Murray is equally as terrible in almost every scene in this entire film. Fuck. I agree with you. I started checking out right here.
This is where I checked out too. Yeah, somebody who enjoyed it. At least more. This is the moment where you start to lose complete interest in the movie. Because it's just like the motivations start to become unclear. Because she's not showing him like, oh, here's what you're missing. It's more like, well, this is what people are doing without you. But even if you were a good person, you probably wouldn't be hanging out with these people anyway. So what do you care?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that I didn't get. In the original, it's a little more explicit that like, hey, Scrooge, you're ruining Bob Cratchit's life and his son has a limp and is like lame. This is just like, oh, you're missing a Christmas party. I don't know. This is the bad part. When he comes out of this, I think it gets better because that's where he runs back into Bobcat Goldthwait, who has gone completely insane and he's drunk and he's running through the halls with a shotgun.
Yeah, he's trying to kill him. They just start doing the live rendition of Scrooged.
Yeah.
Or Scrooge. And then he goes into the elevator and he thinks it's the Reaper he saw earlier in the night. And then he pulls the robe behind, or he pulls it back and he sees like all these demons underneath the robe. Realizes, okay, this is the ghost of Christmas future.
At this point, he has hit the last stage of grief, which is acceptance. He's just accepted the fact that, okay, this is actually happening. The ghosts are here.
Right. So he sees his own funeral and he's like inside the coffin being lit on fire. He sees the secretary's kid like in a funny farm.
Yeah. The death scene, the seeing your own funeral was a little weird to me because I don't mean to get too dark on this podcast, but we're all going to die. And so I don't know. It was like,
speak for yourself.
Well, yeah. I mean, I plan to live forever too, right? As long as you can invent, as long as I can print new livers.
You must promise me you'll live forever.
Yes. I too plan on never perishing, but, I don't know. It was a little weird. It was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. It's like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I think it was more like they were trying to,
nobody came to his funeral.
Yeah, show that, like, right, you're dead now, and no one gives a fuck about you, and what have you done with your life?
Also, his brother still looked pretty young, so I think the implication was he was going to die young.
Because that was the message from his mentor,
mm-hmm,
who visits him.
Like, don't end up like me, right?
I should have been, like, doing humanitarian stuff and charity and worrying about the earth instead of all that other bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the message. And then when he comes out of that,
this is where he has his full, we both agree, this is the low point. Wow, you look like you're in pain.
It's so bad.
It is bad.
It's so fucking bad. Take us through it, Matt.
Okay, so he comes out of the, well, I mean, it's impossible to break this down because he couldn't even break, it was unscripted. So he comes out of the death scene, he charges into the stage, they're in the middle of the production, he grabs of Christmas Carol.
Cat fight.
No kid, literally. He and then he goes insane. Bill Murray goes completely insane for like 15 minutes and has this big breakdown about how everybody needs to be nice to each other and why can't New Yorkers just be nice to each other? I don't know. It goes on forever. It's impossible to capture. But this is for sure the worst part of the movie. It's a mess.
It's terrible. Like, it just... Oh, man. I checked out, dude. I checked out.
At what point did you check out? Was it about the Ghost of Christmas Present when you got really angry at the annoying woman?
I started to fast forward through that, and then I got to...
Oh, you were fast forwarding.
Yes, I was.
Oh, you weren't just checked out. You were actively getting through it.
Right. So then I got to after that scene, and then once we got to his spiel at the end is where I fast forwarded some more. And I just couldn't take it. I could not take it. The performance is so terrible. Bill Murray and everybody else included in this. You know, and they have this back and forth with, like, he goes to Karen Allen's place of business, which she's like a... she's caring for the homeless.
Yeah, she's doing like outreach, community organizing type work. Yeah, running a homeless shelter.
He goes in there and gets a blanket like he's one of the homeless people.
Okay, yeah, that didn't make a lot of sense.
And then he's like doing improv with them. Like, it's so fucking bizarre.
At one point, he's almost repaired his relationship with her because she's still really into him.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, oh, I can't do something. I'm doing whatever tonight. I'm going to go help homeless people. And he has this breakdown on her of like, that's your problem. You're just, you care about poor people. Why don't you just be rich with me? It just goes on forever. And it's like,
and the Ghost of Christmas Future shows Bill Murray that she is now telling like kids to fuck off and homeless. And a wise man once told me, to worry about myself.
Only care about yourself.
And here I am.
A wise man once told me greed is good.
Oh, my God.
This is another Reagan-era movie. It is. It's 88. That's it. Look, greed is good and don't help the homeless people.
You know, I think it's at this point in the show here where I realize that this podcast is shit. It's not one of our better podcasts because this movie's shit and there's not a lot to talk about. We've got more than we've got with the Phantom, but
so we'll stitch this together with the Phantom.
Well,
but we got more. We got more in this.
We got more in the tank in this one, but it's like that Phantom episode is getting released someday.
Yes, maybe we'll stitch something else to it that we feel is like unreleasable. I don't feel that way about this podcast or this movie. I think it's okay. It's not great. You don't even think it's good. I enjoy it. I enjoy parts of it. There's a lot of little bits to it that I think are very funny, and I think it goes off the rails, ironically, once the Christmas Carol story starts.
Yeah.
Once they try to retell that is where it gets a little weird. They should have probably just made this about a cynical corporate executive learning the true meaning of Christmas.
Yes.
Has that been done 100,000 times? Yes, it has.
Yes.
But the weakest part of this movie is the ghost stuff. It's kind of, the setup is fun. I think Bill Murray's fine in this. There's a lot of little funny elements to it, but it has no idea what to do with its own premise. It tries to be meta by doing a Christmas Carol, you know, on stage in the movie, and it kind of fails at that. It's okay. I don't regret buying it on 4K. I'm probably going to watch it again next year. When I get bored, I just drink an old fashioned and go on Instagram. It's fine.
I hate this fucking movie.
Are we pulling the ripcord on this? Oh my God.
We're going to end it right here.
Okay. Okay.
I'm shocked how much I hated this.
I am too.
Watching it for the first time in like 30 years, but
I feel kind of bad because this was my recommendation and I thought for sure like, oh my God, dude, 80s Bill Murray, Mike's going to love
this. No, I thought the same thing because I've seen this multiple times as a child, but now as a 40-year-old man, I don't know, dude. It was torture to get through after the ghost of Christmas passed.
Yeah, that's the peak of the movie for sure. And it is all downhill from there. I completely agree.
So that's it for this episode.
So you don't recommend this movie?
I do not recommend this. No, do not watch this. Matt is recommending.
I'll give it a soft recommend. I think it's pretty fun.
No, don't watch this fucking thing. But you can follow us Instagram OSM Review. Download this podcast wherever you can find us. We're going to leave you with an annoying cat song because this movie is annoying too.
Mike would rather listen to this on loop for an hour than watch this fucking movie again. Merry Christmas.